And let's read this verse together. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. The word of God says, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." And let's pray. Lord, help us to understand this verse, to rightly divide it. Then, Lord, as we finish this thought of beauty and what it means to be beautiful, help us to break through some of the confusion in the world, and your people really need to be settled about how to be beautiful and what that means. And so I pray tonight that you would give us wisdom as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And so yesterday at the ladies' meeting, I spoke about the idea of beautiful, and I'm not going to repeat a lot of what I said, but I spoke about true beauty and the idea that God is beautiful. Beautiful meaning harmonious. Everything fits together perfectly and pleasant to look at. And God is beautiful by definition. He is beauty. And then we talked about God shares His beauty with us. He shares His beauty with us through creation. Well, the world around us is truly beautiful. He shares His beauty with us in our creation, that we were made in His image. I mean, think about that. God made us in His image, so He's sharing His beauty with us. I think God wants His creation to be beautiful. We could look at Genesis chapter 2. God stepped back and said everything was good. Everything was beautiful. The Bible says He put in the garden, the beautiful Garden of Eden, things that were pleasant to look at. So God loves beauty. He is beautiful. He loves beauty. He shares His beauty. And the world and Satan corrupts everything that God made. So Satan can't create anything. He just corrupts and perverts everything that God made. So Satan is constantly taking everything good God did and twisting it and perverting it, making it into something different. And so the concept of what the most of the world thinks about today when they think of beauty is not biblical beauty. And I'll show you that in the scripture this evening. There is an outward beauty. There is an inward beauty. There's a physical beauty. There's a spiritual beauty. And I think that we ought to do the best we can with the outside God gave us. And there are things we can do. I think we ought to not try to look horrible to look at, right? There's not much I can do with this. You know, I don't have a whole lot to work with. But I do try to pretty it up a little bit, comb my hair, put on a little cologne, you know, try to wear decent clothes, those kinds of things. A little plastic surgery here and there, you know, a little Botox, just whatever, fake eyelashes, you know, implants. You know, I do what I can. Some people do. And we talked about this idea of people looking at like magazines. And I was really encouraged the ladies, like you see a magazine cover. And that's not real. You know, all the work that goes into that, you know, $300 haircuts and fake eyelashes and fake hair and fake this and fake that and hairstylists blowing out your hair to look perfectly and you know, someone paying someone to put on your makeup just right. But most people look at that and they're like, well, that's beautiful. So I need to try to become that. And I've dealt with enough teenagers over the years in anorexia and bulimia and depression and all of these things because they don't feel like they are attaining this concept of beauty. And I think it's really important. I have a burden for Christians, but especially ladies, to not burden themselves with all that falsehood. There is a beauty that you are capable of that's beyond anything else in this world. And I think when we talk about beauty, not necessarily externally beauty, but I think you ought to have a beautiful soul. You ought to have a beautiful character. You ought to have a beautiful inside. And so tonight I want to preach an interesting message entitled How to Be Beautiful, How to Be Truly Beautiful. And it may not think, but this isn't a makeover session. I'm not going to show you how to put on eyeliner and all that kind of stuff and comb your hair properly. Although some of you could use it. And we're going to show you from the Bible these interesting thoughts. Now, this is an interesting verse when you look at it. Look back at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22, and think about this. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. So get that picture. A swine is a pig. Now, I don't know anybody that's ever looked at a pig and says, well, it's a beautiful creature. And now, little piglets can be cute, right? And I even read about these people where there are pet piglets now, where you can spend $2,000 or $3,000 and get a little pet piglet to live in your house with you. And they're supposed to be a little bit smart, and they're kind of cute. I read about one lady that they thought they had a miniature piglet, but it wasn't. And so it was really cute, but next thing you know, they got this 350-pound pig in their house tearing things up. But now they fell in love with it, so they want to keep it. But most people don't look at a pig or a warthog or a natural, you know, Brother Pash talks about down in Florida, these natural hogs that run around. Nobody looks at those and says, wow, what a beautiful animal. But imagine this pig with a beautiful jewel stuck right in its snout. I mean, the most beautiful diamond, most beautiful emerald or ruby you've ever seen. And, you know, what a contrast. This beautiful and expensive and valuable jewel attached to a mess. A big mess. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people become. They get so focused on the outside, being beautiful or handsome on the outside, they're like a jewel of gold. And you're like, wow, look how pretty that is. But if you dig a little bit deeper than that, they're just a big mess on the inside. Their lives are a mess. They don't have the character. They don't have the integrity that you would even want to have that jewel, because it's attached to a swine. And so this contrast is instructive for us. And it says, the verse goes on to explain, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair or beautiful woman which is without discretion. And so sometimes the outward beauty isn't worth the inward ugly. Let's just be honest. The goal is to be beautiful on the inside and the outside. And I submit to you tonight that true beauty begins on the inside and works its way out. Matthew 23:27, let me read this verse to you. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." And so imagine you see a nice, beautiful crypt on the outside, and it's a beautiful monument to the lives that were in it. And boy, they take care of the outside, and beautiful flowers planted and painted and cleaned. But man, inside, it's just full of dead people and uncleanness and corruption. And Jesus said, that's how some people live. Some people live prettying up the outside, but inside they're just full of dead people's bones and rottenness. Now, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that's so pretty on the outside. I mean, look at this. Look at this handsomeness in front of you. Look at this handsomeness in front of you. This beautiful rounded shape before you. And fluffy and cuddly and all. I don't have much to work with, okay? I'm trying to find adjectives that are positive somehow. But I don't want to be inside full of rottenness. I don't want to be inside full of corruptness. And every one of you were given a beauty at birth. And beauty truly is in the eye of the beholder. We talked yesterday about there have been times in history where, in different cultures, sometimes like the Grecians, they liked a little skin on the bones. You know, you see the old sculptures and stuff, and there's like some chubby people like sculpted. If I had lived back then, I mean, this may have been a desirable thing. And then, you know, you look around now and, you know, it's like toothpicks and people starving themselves trying to be beautiful. And the idea, the cultural ideas of beauty change, but the godly ideas of beauty are eternal. They never change. And so like Jesus said, I can't add one cubit to my height. I can't make myself taller or look different or these types of things. But what I can do is focus on making the inside beautiful. I can focus on making my inside just what it ought to be. And that's what I encourage each one of us. And when we talk about true beauty, how to be beautiful, yes, we can talk about some basic practices of keeping the outside clean and looking decent. I mean, do the best you can with what you got. But hey, I can change the inside. And it's always so funny, you know, sometimes you see this really homely guy with this beautiful woman. And it's like, is she blind? Is she, you know, how did this happen? And then sometimes you see this really like handsome, looks like a model, looks like he should be on the model of some magazine or something, standing on a mountain with a cape flying behind him, you know, and he's got this lady that's like, what? What's going on here? You know, because beauty truly is in the eye of the beholder. And so don't get caught up in this. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, my nose is so big, or my nose is too small, or my teeth are too small, or I wish I had this, or my eyes are too far apart, or I wish my hair was this color, or I wish it was this, or I wish it was... Stop wishing you were physically different. Thank God for being alive, and focus on the inside. How about that? Right? Here's a rule of thumb. Think about how many hours you spend every week getting ready to go to work, to go to church, focusing on the outside. How long do you spend every week focusing on the inside? Making the inside beautiful. You say, how do we do that? I'm going to show you in just a moment. But I want to show you a few verses here. Then this idea of beauty, the word beauty is a big word. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So here we have David. His house is higher than her. He sees her taking a bath on her rooftop. He shouldn't have been looking. He saw, man, this is a beautiful woman. Now, he wasn't talking about the beauty of her soul. He wasn't saying, well, she's got wonderful character. He was looking on the outside. And what he's talking about here is sensual beauty. There is this idea of sensual beauty. And by the way, it's not a bad thing to be sensually beautiful. That is a wonderful privilege that God gives to a man and a woman inside of the marriage. It's a wonderful thing. And I recommend that you not marry someone that you think's ugly. Matter of fact, I remember when this is so funny now, but I tease teenagers about this. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, one of my big hang-ups was, what am I going to do with my life and who am I going to marry? Those were two of the big things. And I thought, what if God wants me to marry somebody ugly? I mean, and I honestly was worried about this, you know, that you see this person and you know, I just had my mind, this vision of this lady, you know, with like lopsided eyeballs and like crusty eyes and like three teeth here in the front, you know. And I mean, it was like just like something you'd see in the nightmares. And I'm like, what if God wants me to marry? And I finally, like, I'll never forget. I'm like, okay, God, I'll do it. If you want me to, I'll marry her. I will. And that was like a moment of big surrender for me. But one day it hit me. And I know it sounds so foolish now. But one day it hit me that if she's God's will for me, whoever she is, I'm going to think she's beautiful, right? Everybody else in the world might think she's not, but I'm going to think she's beautiful because that's the way God does things. And so there's nothing wrong with sensual beauty. There's nothing wrong with looking at someone's exterior, their face, their hair, and you say, wow, they're beautiful. Those beautiful people. That's perfectly fine, and that's the way God made us. Here's the problem. In today's culture, sensual beauty is promoted as true beauty. And sensual beauty is just one element of a greater truth. Think about the beauty nowadays. I mean, the more of your body you can show, that's beautiful. You know, the more curves you can show off, that's beautiful. The more skin that someone shows, that's beautiful. No, that's sleazy. And there's a difference between sleazy and beautiful. We're all on the same page? And you watch what the world does. Don't watch. Right? Just know what the world does. Well, Pastor told me I have. Oh. You're going to get me in trouble tonight before the night's over. But understand what the world's doing. They are promoting sensual beauty as the only beauty. And that's not the case. There is a deeper beauty that matters. David got in trouble because he got locked in and he got tunnel vision on this woman's sensual beauty, and that fired up his lust. And the next thing you know, he had the power and authority to make it happen. And we get ourselves in trouble when we do these things. And so look at Proverbs chapter 6. There's a warning about sensual beauty, that we ought not get caught up in that. Satan uses sensual beauty like a lure for a fish. And men are attracted to the things they see. And so it really gets your attention. It can really get you locked in on something. And so that's why we've got to be careful with our eyes. And that's why every lady should be careful with how she dresses. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. He's not talking about her inner beauty. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And so you can get captured by this. You can get captivated by this and drawn in. You forget to, a man can get so locked in on sensual beauty, he forgets to think about, would I want to live with this person? Would I want to share my life with this person? Do I even want to have a cup of coffee with this person? Can I have a conversation with this person? None of that matters. They get so focused in. And then verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. So we know that there are ladies out there that use their sensual beauty to entrap men. They dress in such a way, they act in such a way to attract men, and sometimes even great men, men of renown, whether it's wealth or power or prestige, all of these things. But there are ladies that use their bodies to grab and capture men's attention and get what they want. Ladies, let me tell you, that ought to be 1,000 miles away from you as a Christian lady. That ought not have any part in your thinking at all. If you can't capture a man with the beauty of your countenance and the beauty of holiness, you don't want him. And the problem is, if you dress for that kind of stuff and you try to attract that kind of man, you're going to get him. And you're not going to want to live with him later. And so we have to be careful. And so a lot of Christians get caught up in this, you know. And some churches you go into, it's like walking into a leg show or an old burlesque theater. It's like, it ought not be that way. God's people ought to cover themselves and dress appropriately. And we'll address that again before summer, I'm sure. Amen. Stay tuned. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 31. So we're talking about the beauty between true beauty and the fullness of beauty and sensual beauty. And then this is a wonderful verse for everybody, and it kind of anchors us into God's thinking. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, the Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So think about this. Favor is deceitful. So someone can treat you kindly for a while and it be fake. Will we be honest? I don't want someone that treats me kindly for a while and then I find out they're an unkind, selfish person. Right? But you can be tricked by favor. And then it says beauty is vain. Beauty is empty. We talked about the jewel of gold and a swine snout. It's like that beauty wears off if someone can't even treat you kindly and nice, or they're flirting with other people. That beauty means nothing at those moments. And so it can be empty. But what does God say? A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I think that's absolutely true. And I think it's true for young men too. The thing that you can count on is someone that puts God first. That's why I think that there should never be a Christian young person that is interested in or wants to get close to and in a courtship or dating manner, or someone that you would be considered dating or spending a time with of the opposite gender that does not fear the Lord. Well, I'll get them saved later. Probably not. Well, they'll follow God later. Probably not. Right? Favor's deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so when you're looking for a mate, it's the fear of the Lord that's going to matter for the long term. When I am addressing myself and I want to be a good mate for my wife, or I want to be a good man, or you want to be a good woman, it's the fear of the Lord that's going to matter, and the true inner beauty outflows from the fear of the Lord within you. And that's going to matter forever. Look at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. And I just want to say this, physical beauty fades over time. Godly beauty abides forever. And you young people, you may not understand that. We older people, we understand that. You know, you look in the mirror, it's like, who's that guy? And where'd my hair go? You know, why is my hairline way back there? And why is my hair turning collars? And why do I have a hair sticking out of my ear now? You know, it's like, what? I'll never forget, I was at the barber years ago, and he's like, would you like me to shave your ears? I'm like, what? It's like, this is not a question I've ever been asked in my whole adult life. And I wanted to say, you know, I didn't want to act stupid. I'm like, sure, you know, go ahead. But I'm like, why would he ask to shave my ears? But then the next time I went to, I needed a haircut, and I look, and there's a big hair sticking out of my ear. And I'm not joking, just recently, you know, you get a little older, you even have to start trimming your nose hair and stuff. And I was out somewhere recently, and I looked in the mirror, and it looked like I had something in my nose. And so I'm trying to get it out, and, you know, I got a tissue, it wouldn't come out. It's like, and so I look in the mirror, and I'm being real personal here with you right now. I look in the mirror, and I'm trying to see what that is. It's a gray nose hair. Who knew nose hairs would turn gray? And so it's like sticking out, and it's like, it looked like I had something in my nose. And you say, what'd you do? It was a seek and destroy mission. I had to get in there and kill it. And now what am I saying? I'm just reminding you that physical beauty fades. The things that you look at and say, wow, look at this person. Look at those muscles. Look at that hair. Look at that beauty. If that's all you're looking at, it's going to be gone someday. But that physical beauty, I look at my wife today and I think she's more beautiful than she was. It's this beauty. See, the inner beauty beautifies everything about you. And it comes to the outside and it beautifies the inside and the outside. We doing okay? Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. I know it's a different kind of message tonight, but I'm telling you, people need to hear this stuff. We have lost such a consciousness, just the spiritual basics in our country. We're losing the spiritual basics, and we have to get back to the basics of things, all right? Not only does physical beauty fade, but look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 15, says, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedest the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. Here's the thought. Physical beauty can become an enemy of godliness. If you don't have the right concept of what beautiful is, your physical beauty will actually pull you away from God. And we see this happen with young men. You know, they get a little older and they get to be teenagers, and boy, they start thinning out a little bit and they start getting some muscle, and girls start to pay attention to them. And it's like, wow, well now if you don't have the right concept right there, you're in trouble, friend. The same thing happens with young ladies. You know, you got these beautiful little girls running around the church, and then they grow up and they start becoming ladies, and they start maturing and their shape changes, and they get, because of their godliness, because they've been protected, they just have a glow and a beauty about them, and the world goes, whoa, look at that. And if you're not careful, I've seen it happen 100 times. Boy, they get so focused on the makeup, and they get so focused on the clothes they wear, and they stop praying, they stop reading their Bible, they stop working the bus route, they stop going soul winning, they start being selfish. Because if we're not careful, physical beauty can be the enemy of godliness. We don't want that. Godly beauty abides forever. We see the same thing in Satan. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. We know that God created Satan. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was an angel of high esteem in heaven, and God made him beautiful. And in many ways, he was the sum total of God's creative power. I mean, just an absolutely beautiful being. But he says, look at verse 17. You can read the whole portion of Scripture later. Look at Ezekiel 28:17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. And so here, the beauty became pride. And I was talking about to someone recently, and I said, this is years ago, and I was talking to someone that I hadn't seen in a while, and I said, how's so-and-so doing? She's got to be grown up now. And they said, yeah, she's grown up now. And they said, the problem is she's beautiful, and she knows it. I was like, oh. You know, if God does honor you with some natural beauty, that's not for you to flaunt and pervert and get so focused on that you forget everything else. And I really hope you young ladies, you listen to me. Don't get to be teenagers and start fighting with your parents about you want to wear tight this and short that and low this and high that. Knock that junk off. When you wear makeup, wear enough that's attractive and it conceals some things and it highlights some things, but you don't need to look like a circus clown when you start messing with that stuff. It's not all about that. There is a beauty that supersedes all of that, and it's a godly beauty. All right, let's dive into this. So how can we be beautiful? We've set the stage. How can we be beautiful inside and out? Look at Psalm 29, and I'll just give you some of these, and we'll go to the house. Psalm 29, and I'm not just talking to the girls, and I'm telling you, you men, you don't want a girl that uses her body like a piece of merchandise. Don't fall for that stuff. And you adult men, you protect yourself. Don't take a second look when someone walks by. Turn the channel when something comes on you shouldn't look at. Don't visit certain places on the internet. I mean, you gotta watch yourself like a hawk nowadays, because it's everywhere. It's pervasive. And look at Psalm 29 and let's look at verse 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so, you want to be beautiful? Strive for holiness. I say number one, strive for holiness. The Bible says holiness is beautiful. Holiness is the absence of sin. Sin corrupts everything it touches. Sin actually steals beauty. There's a verse that I gave the ladies yesterday in Psalms that talks about that. Sin will waste away your beauty. You get involved in sin, it'll suck the beauty right out of you. It'll take the youth from you. It adds wrinkles and stress and all of this kind of stuff early. But there is a beauty in holiness. And the Bible talks about, in another psalm, it talks about the beauty of the Lord. Oh boy, God, it's just a beautiful thing to be in church. It's a beautiful thing to be in places where sin is not promoted and going on and all of this. And I think about this. Sin is ugly. I often tell my kids, pride's ugly. Selfishness is ugly. No one looks at pride and selfishness and says, oh, that's attractive. I want to be around that. It's just ugly. Sin is ugly. And so we can choose to be beautiful on the inside by striving for holiness on the inside. I'm going to give you, just mention some things here, and I could give you verses with all these, but I won't. Let me say that humility is beautiful. God loves humility. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humility is beautiful. Kindness is beautiful. Even when I disagree with you, I can be kind. Kindness is beautiful. Being short with people and rough and making fun of people, that's just ugly. Think about being thoughtful of others, being unselfish. That's beautiful. Being compassionate, we mentioned that this morning. Being loving, being forgiving. Boy, it's an ugly thing to watch someone who's bitter. Boy, they're just bitter, their face scrunches up, and the anger and the bitterness, their face scrunches up, and their words get short and terse, and they just... Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? No. There is a beauty to love. There's a beauty to kindness. Let me say this, calmness. When things get a little rough in your home or in your life, or you run up on a situation and all of a sudden things get really tense, that's not the moment you go crazy! There's something about when something goes wrong and someone can say, I know what to do. Let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. Kindness, calmness. And people are attracted to that. They're like, wow, that was a tense situation, but calmly. Someone was able to calmly take care of that situation. Now, there are times when passion is in necessary, and I think passion can be beautiful. But not a passion, a selfish passion. But I mean, I think it's beautiful whenever you see someone get really animated about the things of God. Boy, they're excited about the things of God. They're excited about things. And I personally think that apathy is ugly. Whatever. Just, hey, you want to go? I guess. Hey, do you want to? Hey, let's go. Yeah, whatever. What? That's no fun. That's not what you want to be around. That's not commendable. But it's good to be passionate about certain things. And of course, passionate about the Lord. And so I think patience is beautiful. Think about being strong, but mixed with kindness. Truth, mixed with mercy. Strength and beauty. I think it's a beautiful thing to see someone who's mannered, saying please and thank you. And I think you young people, you ought to say please and thank you to mom. She puts food before you. Why do I have to eat peas? How about you close your mouth and say, thank you, mom. I'm so glad you made my least favorite vegetable. You know how much I hate peas. Thank you. But I know they're good for me. And you're looking out for my liver needs these. You know, my eyeballs need these carrots. Thank you so much for thinking of my eyeballs. You don't have to go that far. But I mean, manners are nice. Opening the door for someone. You know, opening the door for your wife. Being kind. You know, and I wish we could just do a quick master class with most Christian men about just kindness and etiquette. You know, walking on the car side. If you're walking with your wife down the road, you walk on the side where the cars are coming so you can keep them safe. You know, letting them sit down first, pulling out a chair if it's appropriate, opening the car door. You know, all of these things that just add this, it's like, wow, this is different. I like this. And so we're talking about striving for holiness. How do we strive for holiness? How about praying in the morning? How about getting your Bible out and spending time in God's Word before you get going in your day? Meditating, being grateful in the morning to God. These ideas of holiness, we strive for holiness every day, thinking through things like the Lord's Prayer, you know, surrendering to God, expecting His return, praying for the daily needs of life, forgiving your enemies. I mean, this is how you instill holiness in you. You invite God in and you take God in the morning and you spend time with God, and that affects you on the inside all day long. Amen? Look at Exodus chapter 28. I just want to pull out of this verse the idea that clothing can be beautiful and can add to your beauty. Exodus 28:40 says, "And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles." And that's not the same girdles as shapewear. I learned about that this week. You know, that's not that. It's actually just a piece of clothing. "And bonnets," and talking about hats, "shalt thou make for them for glory and beauty." So this was special clothing that the high priest and the priests would wear that would add to God's glory and their beauty. And I think that wearing appropriate clothing does add to the beauty of your life. I think wearing appropriate, you know, your clothes say a lot about who you are and what you're about. If I go to the gym, I don't wear my suit and tie, right? But you can usually tell what someone's been doing. If I see someone in gym clothes, I'm thinking, well, maybe they just came from the gym. You know, that's where my mind goes. I don't assume they just came from church. If I see someone wearing pajamas, I don't expect to see them in Shaw's or Stop and Shop, but Walmart. But nowadays you do. You're like, we were in Walmart some months ago, and one of my kids is like, is that guy wearing pajamas? Yeah. I don't think they make Batman pants yet. You know, I mean, he's like wearing Batman pajamas or whatever. And It says a lot about you. I think I still believe that you wear your best to church. You just wear the best you got. Now, if that's a pair of old holy overalls, wear that, but you wear the best you got. We're going to see the King. I think that we ought to be appropriate. I don't sleep in my suit. I have a pajamas that I wear. And if I'm working around the house, I've got work clothes. And if I'm going to the gym, I've got gym clothes. And there's something about You know, beauty is the pieces fitting, and there's just something about appropriate, being appropriate, you know, not sleazy, not showing off a bunch of skin or accentuating parts of your body that ought not be. The Bible teaches that everything from my shoulders to my knees belongs to God and my spouse. So it's the same thing for you. Everything from your shoulders to your knees belongs to God and your spouse. It's not for the world to see and know. All right, and then cleanness. I think about, you know, put on some clean clothes. You know, bleach your whites and use a nice smelling thing, detergent. And, you know, throw a little bit of cologne on you every once in a while. And things like, you know, maintaining, we'll talk in a moment about maintaining a godly countenance. You know, brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Learn what a breath mint is. You know, a mouthwash. Just strive to say, you know what, I'm not going to make my whole outside. I don't live every day for what I'm going to wear. I don't spend hours on my hair, and I don't think through what I'm going to wear and what outfit am I going to wear. When I first got married, my wife's like, what outfit are you going to wear? And I said, honey, men don't wear outfits. We wear clothes. We wear suits, but guys don't wear outfits. And it just makes me creepy crawly to... But... you ought to think through it a little bit, right? You ought to have a mind that I don't want to distract from God's glory because I'm not taking care of the body He gave me. All right, I said number three, maintain a godly countenance. 1 Samuel 25:3, you can write that down, talks about Abigail. She was of a beautiful countenance. Men as well. 1 Samuel 16:12 says that David was of a beautiful countenance. But it also says he was goodly to look to. So the beautiful countenance speaks to the face. You know, maintain a godly countenance. And there is a natural beauty to the face. But let me, you know, think about this. Your face should be where the attention is. We shouldn't use our clothing or our bodies to draw attention to those places. When you talk to someone, you usually talk face to face. Right? And so you ought to maintain a countenance. And the face is the window to the soul. I think that learn to smile. You know, learn to put a smile on your face. And I try to do that. My resting face looks angry. No, that's not my resting face. My kids sometimes, they'll say, Dad, are you angry? I'm like, why do I look angry? they're like, kinda. And they all joke with them like that. And but my natural resting face is like a mean face. I look like I'm ready to kill somebody. Or, you know, if you call me on the phone during the week and I'm not paying attention to my voice, it's like, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're like, are you suicidal? You know, what's going on? Are you okay? It's like, I'm fine. I'm just working. You know, I'm in my work. My mind's busy and I'm not thinking about, hey, God bless you, you know. But I do try to think through a lot of times. I try to think through how I speak to people and what is on my face and the smile you wear and how you look at people. Because maintaining a countenance is part of the beauty. And then let me say lastly, and you can write this verse down, Romans 10:15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And the Bible talks about the beauty of the feet of those that take the gospel. I think God looks at soul winning and He says, wow, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when one of my children tells somebody else how to be one of my children. Do you know the pride, and I don't mean that in a bad way, the joy, the joyful pride you get when you look, you see your children doing something they ought to do? Isn't there just something about that that's like, wow. Wow, that's awesome. They're getting it. They're getting it. And I think about God looking down from us, and God thinks it's beautiful when we tell others about Christ. He looks down at you and He says, they're getting it. Wow. I'm so excited about that. And I think other Christians think it's beautiful. Whenever someone is not ashamed of their faith and they are a soul winner. And so the point is this. True beauty begins on the inside. Focus on that. Do the normal things to make yourself acceptable and beautiful or handsome on the outside. Don't neglect those things. But at the same time, don't spend too much time on those to the neglect of the other. Be beautiful on the inside and everything will work out. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for the opportunity to preach your word. pray that you'd help us to learn how to be beautiful, think through some of these things, not get caught up in the sensual beauty the world promotes, but to really just rest in the beautiful world you gave us, beautiful creation. We're made in your image. We can be beautiful on the inside. Help us to be beautiful people. And Christ, we look at you and your life, and what an amazing life, what a worthy life, a desirable life. Help us to mimic that in our own lives. Heads about, eyes are closed. Let's stand, and we'll take a moment. What area of your life could use some attention?